it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, The Game, on this Monday afternoon. Don't forget, go to thegamenashville.com or our Twitter account, at 102.5, The Game, and vote. We are in this currently in the second round of our Nashville Sports Bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. A great conversation we had in the first hour with Jeff Fisher. His region is underway. Steve McNair is the one seed. So get in there and vote for that. Also, the Tim Corbin region. You've got until 9 o'clock tonight, so 9 more hours of voting. Tomorrow, you will vote on the Phil Bredesen region and the David Poyle region. We have whittled this thing down to 32 athletes after a really, really good and intense first round all of last week. So get in there and vote, and we'll give you some results here a little bit later this hour. Let's check in with Vince Ferrara. He joins us every Monday at high noon. He is with WNML in Knoxville. He's at Vince Sports on Twitter. Just click follow. It's free and easy. Vince, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. I am proud to say I did not watch anyone play video games on TV this weekend. So I think it was pretty productive in a thumbs-up weekend. Hope you guys are doing well.
Are you proud of that? Was that you rebelling against that? What was the thought process into that?
Well, it wasn't even in consideration. I'm just saying, like, ESPN was just showing, you know, people, I guess the NBA athletes, they have their own competition with the video game and everything. And I love sports, but I can't watch other people play video games on TV. Like, it's just... I just don't understand that. Good for you if you do and you enjoy it. That's all you. I'm just saying I don't see how that's a viable option. Surely there's other things to watch.
You made a comment to me over the weekend when we were exchanging some text about my memes and GIFs and stuff that have been put out there. Adam Vingan called in last week from The Athletic, and Mr. Starched Underpants put me on the list because he just thought that it was corny and I was going overboard. How do you feel about that? I didn't know. I couldn't read from your text. You know, you never know the tone if you were okay with it or if you were rolling your eyes like Mr. Starched Underwear, Adam Vingan.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes I just reply in GIFs and emojis, and then you just – some of those can be vague as well, as you know, because that's how you communicate a lot of times. It saves from, like, saying words sometimes.
Yes.
When you talk for a living and you don't want to talk anymore, that's how you communicate. But no, I'm fine with it. Everybody can do what they want with it. A lot of them are funny, and sure, some people want to be serious, and if you want to be more serious, you can. You just keep moving. But I think for some, it's very useful to have the chuckles and the laughs and keep it in perspectives. And you know, that's your coping mechanism, and you're not alone in that. So good for you.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Vince. You know, we need to be serious about the message, and we've been that way on this show. We've been, you know, very serious about the message from jump. I mean, we just have. We've tried to be very consistent in telling people, like, to take this serious. You know, we need to do this. These are the proper steps we need to take. And so it is time to get serious when having those discussions. But after that, to me, once you put the message out there and we talk about certain things, you can't, to me, I don't want to get too much more serious after that because, to me, it's depressing. I get it. Everybody has had their life, everybody listening, and all of us, the four of us, and Marquise, so the five of us, right? Everybody's had their life turned upside down, however that is. Whatever's in your world, it's been turned upside down. So it can be tough. It can be a little depressing. So I'm just trying to keep people's spirits up and say, hey, you know, we'll get through this. It stinks right now, but let's try to remain positive, have a little fun, Let's get a laugh in, a smile in. And then today we've had fun with the, you know, kind of switch gears a little bit. We're doing some brain teasers. We want to keep, you know, the mind fresh, keep it active. We don't want to turn to mush. Mush brain is no good.
Well, it's the mental health aspect of this is another. There's so many trickle downs effect of our world being changed for however long it will be. But the mental health part of it is something that it can really be difficult for a lot of people. So if little things like that can help you through, maybe staying off of social media, finding either comedies or things that entertain you, even if it is video games, if that's a distraction for you, then so be it, however you do it. But to just be tracking this and worrying about it 24/7, it's not good for anybody. And so, you know, everybody's got different ways to cope with it. So I think those distractions are very good.
Something that will keep us away, something that will serve as a distraction this month and all the way until leading up to the NFL draft, which is going to take place, is indeed the NFL draft. And so it does give us some fresh news. Looking at that, I know you're a guy that you're into the recruiting scene. You like to study that and keep us informed on the recruiting side of things. You're also a guy that loves to track and talk about the NFL draft. And when you look at this upcoming draft, what stands out to you, especially the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, well, the big reason for that, I love the draft process. So that's another part of it, too, that unfortunately we haven't been able to get information and track as much. The teams aren't able to meet with the players, as we know, and there's not the medical and the pro days and all that kind of stuff. And the reason why I enjoy that whole process and the draft has always been so much fun for me is because two of my biggest loves are college football and the NFL, and those two worlds collide and merge during the NFL draft process. And there's so many what ifs and scenarios and hypotheticals, things like that. That's a big part of what makes sports so fun. So you combine all those factors. I know it's an inexact science and people just want to wait to see them once they get there, but it's sports. That's part of what sports is. So I love it. As far as what stands out, I think because of the way the draft is going to be so remote and you haven't been able to do all of the cross-checking and the pro days and the medicals and all that, since those things have been taken away and the meetings online and these video conferences, it's not the same thing as the face-to-face where you're able to really find mannerisms and see how they react and actually get them up on boards and things like that and keep them all day. Those are all things that these teams aren't able to do. So because they're not able to be as normal as the process is, I think you're going to see teams really rely on the Power Five schools and then the most successful programs for their players. I think you're going to see that first round dominated by the power conferences in college football more than any other year. It's they're more known commodities. You're already having to take probably some medical risks, not being able to do the normal stuff there. So if you're going to be a little bit more unknown or not have the full info you normally would, I think relying on the programs that put out the NFL players and you can trust that have steered you the right way in the past, I think that's the way the first round will go. Also, in terms of the quarterbacks, that obviously to me, Joe Burrow is a no-brainer at one. And then the health question of Tua is there and a risk for some teams. But I think I have him at five to the Dolphins, but it wouldn't surprise me if teams have to move up to at least three to go up and get him. And then the other two guys in Justin Herbert and Jordan Love, I think people are going to have to move up to get those guys also. It's just that I think you're going to see also at the top of the draft, the New York Giants are going to be the team that's going to pick somebody that they shouldn't, Like it should be a no-brainer for them to take Isaiah Simmons from Clemson, but they don't do what they're supposed to do. So you're going to see that be sort of the domino effect, I think, where now they take – I have them taking Mekhi Becton, the big tackle from Louisville, and now it moves down Simmons, and then you got Brown there, and you got the quarterbacks, and then that's going to trigger the domino effect of, look at all these great players on the board. I need to move up. Now I can move up to go get them or the quarterbacks, and then it's just going to send everything into sort of a tizzy after that. So I think those are just a few of the things that I expect in the first round. And then I have the Tennessee Titans with no Jarrell Casey there. Yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, tell us about the big defensive tackle from A&M. And I was going to literally say, do you think that's Casey's replacement?
Yeah, I do, because there are a lot of similarities. Justin Matabuke, Texas A&M wasn't talked about all that much, but they had a really good run defense this year, and Matabuke was a big reason for that. He was terrific at the scouting combine in Indy, and he checks a lot of the boxes that Jarrell Casey did. A big guy that can play inside and then has quicker feet and the athleticism better than what his size, 40 and the agility drills and all of the motion drills. He's an athletic guy for his size, and I think you could say that about Jarrell Casey. He's very good against the run, but then has the tackles for loss that can still get after the quarterback from the interior. Again, things that Titans fans know they got from Jarrell Casey in the past. So I think he would fit the bill for them, and I know there's other needs, but, boy, that's as big a one as you see on that Titans roster right now. So that kid, I think, would be a great pickup, and that's why I have the Titans taking Justin Matabuke from Texas A&M.
Interesting. All right, more with Vince Ferrara on the other side from the Sports Animal, WNML, there in Knoxville. But as we head to the break, Willie, I know you got a good word about the folks at Lee Company.
Okay, Lee Company, of course. As I've been telling you for years now, they continue to provide their service at 615-567-1000. And yep, warmer temperatures are here, and that is a nice thing. It's been great to hang out outside and not get too sweaty, but we know it's going to get warmer, so make sure as you start to run your air conditioner that it's running efficiently. If you find that it's not, then that's a great reason to start building a relationship with Lee Company at 615-567-1000 or go online at leecompany.com. And while you're at it, if you have any other maintenance issues, now that you're home all the time, probably, and you're not working in your office, and you're looking around, you're saying, this could be a good time to look at some maintenance issues that we have. Well, Lee Company can do that for you. They have the general maintenance operation going there as well. Just a couple of things that they offer. There's many. So go on that website, leecompany.com, surf around and check it out, or give them a call at 615-567-1000. Lee Company. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming at you here in our separate spots around the Nashville area. And we are glad to have all of you with us today. Stay with us. We're going to be staying live throughout this time, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day. We're going to be interacting with you. We want your presence on social media. We want contact. We want to stay connected with all of you. We're going to try to keep you informed, talk about the sports issues. We've got Vince Ferrara on the line. So, Vince, let me ask you this. We're running a promotion called Nashville's Best Athlete of the Last 30 Years. We have our bracket competition going. And Derek Barnett is on the board today. He's not doing very well in his matchup, but just gives us a chance to maybe reflect on a guy's role. Of course, a lot of us here in Nashville remember him at Brentwood Academy. But give us your perspective on him. He did very well to win his first matchup in our eyes, for sure. He kind of pulled an upset in the first round over Shane Foster, of all people. But give us your perspective on Derek.
Well, getting to the sack record at Tennessee was massive for Barnett. He was a highly coveted and one of the key parts of Butch Jones's recruiting class that, you know, produce the Jalen Hurds and the Cam Suttons. And he's a guy that lived up to his billing, one of the key in-state guys that he needed to get. And Hurd was rated higher as a five-star, but Barnett was part of that group that really helped Butch Jones get some momentum in the state and some validity at the time. And he was one of those marquee players that did work out for Butch Jones. He had a lot of other misses, but Barnett was not one of them. Relentless worker. He practiced with just an edge and a meanness to him. And he wanted to get better, and he did. He got better every single year. He produced, didn't take plays off. And then when you can get to Reggie White in anything, that's pretty special. So, yeah, especially in his college, for his time at UT, just one of those guys that was phenomenal. And, you know, to this point, he's had some good moments, but he's had some injuries in the NFL with the Eagles too. So he's still starting defensive end, but there, I think, will be some more pressure with him as he gets closer towards the end of that first deal in the NFL to deliver big numbers in Philly.
I'm curious, Vince, over in your area in Knoxville, how extensively you've talked about the potential for different paths that this could take for the college football season. I think what's become very, very apparent to everybody that has been on the record talking about this, various athletic directors, but is just the importance of getting the college football season in some form. So how much have you guys talked about it, and do you think playing the season more on time in empty stadiums would be more feasible than playing in the spring? I even saw something that maybe you could play in the spring, and that would be the better way to go. But it's amazing how we're thinking about all these things, whereas maybe 2 weeks ago we didn't really go down that road yet.
Right, and now more people are speaking out about it, whether it's on the positive side like a Dabo Swinney, or if it's the president getting together with the commissioners and saying that he expects the football season to start on time. A lot of people are chiming in with their opinions on it. None of us really know how it's going to play out, but I do think that more fans you're calling in and asking us about it. Do you think that the season's going to be impacted? Do you think we're even going to play? You know, we were taking some of those calls from the get-go when I thought it was a little early to start going that route. But I think part of that is just the concern. And when you start thinking about taking away a college football season, that's when people start to wonder, and it makes it, more difficult to kind of comprehend. But there's a curiosity about it. I think others feel confident about it and don't want to mentally go there yet. So it's kind of all over the place. But yes, we do get asked about it. And at least I think it's on more people's mind because you hear nationally more of that discussion and more opinions on the subject coming out, even though those are just speculation anyway.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara.
It's all speculation, but it does illustrate too, Chase, sorry to interrupt, but just how much the financial model for every college athletic program that has football is relying upon football being played, because there's a lot of those, as we like to call them, the Olympic sports or the Title IX sports that are funded directly from the revenue that is generated in football season. So I know there's a lot of coaches in a lot of different sports that are concerned. It's not just I need my football, but the whole athletic program relies on football being played. It's kind of scary to think about. Hopefully it will work out if we can play our cards right as a society between now and then.
No doubt. And to answer your second part of the question, which I didn't do before, which would or would people prefer just any football without fans or pushing it back to the spring? My guess is by the time we get to the football season, if we've gone that long of a period of time without live sports, and live sports is just starting to get underway, and that's the way to do it, I think people are going to be accepting of it and understanding. Would people prefer to be at the games if they normally go? 100%. But it will still be football. And I think as now with the realism of how serious this is, if that's the option and you don't quite have an option C, you'll take that and won't complain about it or shouldn't, and then we move on. I think that would be something. If you push it back for fans, boy, that's still a long period of time you have to wait before you get to your beloved football. So there'll be different opinions on it, and they have been. But I would think, let's get the football going so we can get a little bit closer towards normalcy, and then maybe in all the Olympic sports will be closer to normal by the time we get to spring.
All right, let me ask you guys this. And Vince, we'll start with you, and I want Willie and Chase to weigh in as well. Let's just say football comes back on time and they're starting, okay? And they have decided at this point we have come back to some normalcy and things are calm right now in this country, okay, and in the world. So it's open season for football. NFL and college football are open and the stadiums are open. Do you think we would see a sellout? Do you think we would actually see a venue that was sold out? Because while you say people are going to be excited, I would also say there's going to be a whole lot of people say, man, I am so glad they're back. I am pumped. I've been a season ticket holder for the last 25 years, but I'm not going to go sit with 80,000 people. Not happening.
I think, Darren, and it's a general hypothetical, but a lot of that just depends on how long have we been back to normal.
Yep.
Did we just get there? Or is it maybe, are there still people that think it's a bad idea and they're getting a lot of pushback for that? Where are we at when we get there? So I don't, not to ride the fence on it, but I do think there are a lot of other factors in whether we would see that. If we're a month in and you're having other events happening without issues around the world and in the U.S., and then we start some college football, and you also see it, you see it at other places before your game happens, I think the ones that normally sell out, I think they will get there pretty quick. Maybe not right away. There might be a little bit of the test of the waters period, but I do think eventually this year, if we do get to normal, I do think we'll get back to that at some point, even though there'll be a little bit of a ramp-up time.
Are you saying, Darren, in the fall, actually on time? Or because I think that could be a factor. Is if it depends on how divided the opinions are. If you have the health experts, for example, all screaming at the top of their lungs, "We're not ready to do this yet. We shouldn't do this."
Well, I don't
watch
think
out
we would
for a
do
second
that.
Wave.
Everybody's been living the all clear.
Right, that would be wow. Wouldn't that be awesome if we got to that, where the medical experts are saying we have the all clear? Then I think, yeah, I don't know that it would be totally full everywhere. I think there would be a certain segment of the population that would say, I don't know if I'm not ready to go there yet. Maybe some people around them are a little bit more at risk. But I think you'd have a pretty good enthusiasm, you know, guys and families just jumping in there, can't wait to have a game to go to. But that's only under the circumstances that you pointed out, Darren. This hypothetical is they've been given the all clear by all medical experts.
And all clear, to me, a vaccine is a part of that. Because I think that that's, you know, once there's a vaccine and you know, okay, if I get this thing, I just go get a shot, or I can get a flu shot.
A viable treatment.
Yeah, then I think you're going to have people go, okay, I'm good. I'm going to go to Neyland Stadium and watch Tennessee play. Until then, I do think you'll get solid crowds, or maybe solid is not even the right word. I think you'll get decent crowds, but I don't know if you're going to get the packed stadiums across college football or across all sports until you know that you're going to have a vaccine.
That's where I'm going with this. I kind of feel like, and I don't, none of us know where this is going, but if we do have fans back in the stands before the vaccine, I do wonder, what do the stands look like? I'm very, very
curious. Well, you would have to, at minimum, don't you think, guys, have a way of people to be tested by then, right, to say, I'm coming to this stadium, but as I go into the stadium, there's some sort of mechanism, you know, where we have metal detectors now. Part of the deal has got to be you're coming in and there's got to be some way to get screened, right? Or you've got to have some sort of identification that says, I've been tested. You know, don't you think that's got to be part of the equation in any scenario that has this? And I'm not sure we'll be ready for that.
If we talk about lines to get in stands, I mean, to get into stadiums now, I mean, what would they tell people to get there at 6 in the morning?
Yeah.
I mean, my
goodness. What I'm saying is that what's the alternative is to no game, is having, you know, no fans. That's the alternative.
Well, and that was actually leading me into my next question with Vince, because Vince and I actually texted a little over the weekend and you know, tweeted and stuff, because we both were watching WrestleMania. And as you know, I explained to you guys, it went off, and I thought it was a pretty good show for two nights. They didn't have fans. It was a closed set. They had limited personnel there. And I think that people are going to get to a point where they just want sports. So the idea of the NBA in Vegas or the NHL in North Dakota and different things that have been thrown out there, you know, are they feasible? And Vince, from your point of view as a wrestling fan, you know, do you think it worked? Do you think that there could be some scenario where games are being played without fans and it could be feasible from a television standpoint? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. And we're going to get, it looks like, another test with the UFC April 18th that Dana White continues to be confident that he's going to be able to pull off. And that will be as significant of a traditional sport in this country that will go off since it's gotten really, really bad. I do think they pulled it off well. It was great to have that as an entertainment option. Look, I get the contact. Charlotte Flair was on Get Up this morning, and she talked about how they were all tested and the measures that they took. Now, I don't know what tested means, if that means they were tested like for their temperature, for a fever, or if it's for COVID-19 specifically. You know, it's hard to say specifically what that meant, but as long as we are not finding out that they're putting each other at risk and someone from the inside is getting it, and they're able to limit the rest of the contact, then I'm okay with it. But I know I enjoyed it. I just hope that all the precautions were taken and everyone was able to stay healthy, and they, you know, and it stays that way, because wrestling has continued in those empty arenas. And I do think it was very entertaining. We did a great job with it. And again, hopefully no one was at any greater risk.
Vince, appreciate the visit. Have a great week. And we'll do it again next Monday.
All right, you guys stay healthy.
Be safe.
And if you get a chance, everybody check the website, 991thesportsanimal.com, the blog section, a couple of UT football blogs down there. So appreciate you guys.
There you go. Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML, there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. We will come back and talk about some of the things being tossed around to try to make this happen. We'll get into all of that and more to close out hour number three of Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Anybody watch any of the concerts last night? Garth and Trisha doing a show from their house, their studio.
I watched a little bit, including that man Luke Combs did a little bit. So
there was that the hour before Garth and Trisha.
Yeah,
pretty neat.
It was cool.
I mean, there's a lot of musicians doing this, and we've even heard the NBA kind of throw out some of these players, you know, because it's a heck of a lot easier, because most of these guys either have a gym in their house, like a basketball court, inside or outside. And so, you know, there's been things tossed around about them playing horse against each other. But, you know, be a little bit more difficult on the hockey side. I don't know how many of these guys have rinks at their house. Probably very, very few, if any. So it will be hard for the NHL to pull that off. But it's nice to see people getting creative, and some of these sports and some of these athletes getting creative during these times, for sure. So let's talk about these times and getting creative. These teams, the commissioners, meeting over the weekend with the president. And everybody's trying to figure this out, right, and figure out what's the best course of action. We've been talking about it on the show today. We want everybody to do the right thing. The message continues to be what we've been saying for, gosh, well, it's been 3-4 weeks now on the show. That has not changed and is not going to change. But as I've brought up, I mean, there is a huge concern of, but what's the fallout? Like, honestly, like, how long can you do this? I mean, you think about how it's already affected the country already, and we're just in the 1st of April. Like, you can't shut down a country for the remainder of a calendar year and expect to survive economically. It won't. And so then what is the lasting effect of that? So everybody's trying to figure out, okay, so how do we combat what we're going through and try to still make things work? You've been bringing up WrestleMania and what they're doing. UFC seems like they're interested in doing something like that. The NBA has put out this idea that we talked about at the end of last week about possibly, like, turning it into a mini Olympic Village in Las Vegas and trying to do, you know, the rest of their season or at least the playoffs that away. The NHL has brought up things about, you know, going to isolated areas and trying to do something like that, you know, whether it's the Dakotas or Canada or something like that. So what do you think? Does any of this seem viable realistically?
Well, you threw out the term. We need to clarify one thing, because when we say a vaccine, right, if a vaccine is, you know, you take the shot and you're cured, you know, that could, we could be waiting a long time for that. I don't think that's realistic in the coming months. So it's
No.
What
yeah,
can
that's...
be done? We just need to clarify that, because I think, you know, sometimes you throw out vaccine and that can mean different things to different people. But I think what we have to see some development with as we try to put these plans together is, you know, how much can we make advances in the testing of people, the screening, you know, the evaluation, who's had it, who hasn't had it, you know, all these very complicated things. And Darren, that works our way to the answer to your question. It's very complicated, right? We're trying to, but I don't mind everybody thinking in terms of, you know, what can we do safely and when can we do it? Because as you said, we want to get back on our feet doing the things we want to do as quickly as we can. We just have to make sure that our desire to get back on our feet economically doesn't crowd and cloud our first priority, which is to not cost, you know, thousands of lives in doing this, right? I mean, that's the balance we have to strike.
So I think this is interesting. I know we have a call because we've texted about this a lot over the weekend of different things that are out there. And Darren, I feel like you're a little more skeptical that you could pull this off. And I'm somewhere in the middle, because there are so many logistics that you would have to work out. Now, the WWE has made it work because they already have their own facility for doing things like this. They're based in Connecticut, but also have another base in Orlando. And so they were set up for it, so they could pull this off. They had actually already had their training facility, their NXT show, their up and comers do some TV tapings from the Performance Center out of necessity before all this even started. So they were ready to go from that sense. But asking them to do it every week, asking them to basically run operations from there, things have changed. Now you're at, you know, the NBA taking over a city, or the NHL taking over a city. There are a lot of different things that go into that are going to make it difficult. But I think we would all agree that all of these professional leagues now have to think outside the box more than ever, because they don't have a choice. Until a vaccine has been found, I don't know if you can really say that anything is going to be normal, because it's not. And so I think it's forcing these leagues to think about things that they've never had to before and have discussions that they've never had to have before. And all of us are now having to think, okay, it's silly to think that a league can take over a city, but they might have to if we want to see sports back.
But let's get back to one thing. A vaccine, if we're thinking about the ultimate, you know, weapon against this, a vaccine,
it could be
waiting
spring.
For years.
Sure.
It could be years. It could be, you
like
know, realistically,
like there's still no
year.
Vaccine.
Yeah, nobody has said
there's
that.
No vaccine for the common
said,
cold, right? There's no vaccine for a lot of flus, right?
Well, there's
it's
vaccine.
Something to combat it.
Yeah, they're,
no
we,
doubt. We've got to do what we can to manage through in the meantime, and at some point we've got to get back on our feet when we're ready to. But this is where the health experts have to guide us. Some and people have to listen to the health experts. And in the meantime, I think the question is, can this bubble be created in different atmospheres, you know, where you could get everybody in the bubble, make sure everybody's safe. You know, you have tests or whatever to make sure that nobody around you, you know, has any issue. And then you go from there, and there still would be some risk involved. But is there a level of risk that's worth trying to move forward and playing some games? I wonder if they can get to that. I don't know. I was very, very skeptical, as you were, Darren, last week as we were talking about this. I'm very curious to see if anybody can pull it off somewhere in the world and have some success, because it just takes one or two. You have to think worst case scenario too. What could happen? There's some things that could happen that people have pointed out that would be terrible if that goes on.
Well, I've been very realistic about the vaccine. I have said on the show today, the next step is them, through testing and data, and now that we're getting results, is to find out, does this virus mutate? And that is the next step. As we find out it does not, and they suspect right now they're leaning that way, that could go a long ways to this discussion, because if they come out and say this thing is not mutating and that you get it once and it's like the chicken pox, right? You're not going to get it again. Once you go through it and you're cleared and you've been quarantined for your 2 weeks, everybody can basically be released back, you know, if we're going to use all this tiger stuff, back into the wild. Everybody can be released back to normal activities and go about your business, especially if we know that data. That is the next big thing that we may learn in the hopefully very, very foreseeable future. I don't know how long that is, but that is the next step. Let's go to Bo Sox, man. He's on the line. Bo Sox, what's up?
Hey, guys. I know everybody's talking about gatherings of large people at a sporting event, and trust me, you guys know me. I'm the biggest sports fan out there. But I do own some retail locations that's been deemed essential. You guys know that. There's three types of people that are coming into my store. There's one that looks like they're about to rob a bank because they're covered from head to toe with, I mean, anything they can get their hands on. And then there's people that are coming in. They may have a mask. They may not have a mask. They may have gloves. They may not have gloves. And then the third type is the person that just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Until all three actually get on the same page and people actually care, I don't even know when my stores will get back to normal, much less a stadium holding 65,000 people watching a football, baseball game.
Yeah, that's a really good point. What is the – when you observe this, when somebody – let's say you've got three people in the store. Maybe you've got one that's gone, you know, hog wild. They're head to toe and stuff. They look like they're in a bodysuit. The other one has just got, you know, the proper mask that we've seen. And the other one comes in nothing. What is – do people look at each other? Like, what is going on? You get to sit and observe this sitting at a counter – with a store you own, what are you seeing?
Right. So a couple of weeks ago, there was no difference. When it was all happening, when, you know, New York was blowing up, I would have 10 or 15 people, including employees, in the store, no issues at all. Nobody said anything. Now, just today, you know, people are looking in the door, making sure there's only one or two in there, and they're waiting outside, and they're at least taking the 5, 6, 8 feet from the next person and waiting. At my Smyrna location, I had three people inside and I had five people outside waiting this morning. So they're actually, even the ones that don't care are actually doing the distance. It's just like, we have to get information off of phones sometimes. I don't want to touch anybody's phones, but people are like, here, just take my phone and just do it.
Yeah.
No. Because even before the coronavirus, the phone was probably one of the dirtiest things you can handle on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So have you, Bo Sox, have you instructed employees to communicate with your customers and say, you know, here's how we'd like to do it. Here, do you go? How do you try to manage that for that third category you mentioned, people that just, for whatever reason, are unaware or just haven't changed their habits?
So there are a couple of things. I am a franchise, so I do have to go through some rules and regulations that my franchisor puts on me. Like, hopefully today or tomorrow I'll have my sneeze guards and I can put them up. So stuff like that. But the employees, we've given them gloves. We have sanitizing. We're wiping counters multiple times a day. But they are instructed if we get too many, hey, guys, can somebody stand outside? Can you just wait? Luckily, it's been nice today, so people don't want to do that. It's when it's rainy, it's nasty. They don't want to stand in the rain. So they're going to come in. Now, I don't have tape on the floor. I had to go to Kroger's, and they have the big blue blocks that say stand here. I don't have that. I have carpet. It would just ruin my carpet. We thought about taking the blue painter's tape and put it down. But we haven't gone to that extreme yet. But since about last Wednesday or so, I've seen an increase of people wearing just whatever mask, or, you know, the CDC this weekend came out and said, if you don't have a mask, use a scarf, which over the weekend people were doing that. Today people, I've seen it increase from, you know, 10% of people. So it's probably 50 or 60% now using a mask.
That's good. That's encouraging.
And, that's good.
And the gloves
that can't hurt.
The same way. It was, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was, you know, every fifth person came in and had gloves. Now it's 60, 65%. Same about with the masks that are wearing gloves, too. But we have tried to instruct it. We have a sign on the door, a couple of signs talking about, you know, what we're doing to ensure safety, and also, hey, please look and make sure if there's too many people in there, just wait out here.
That is I think we're getting the way I look at it is I feel like we're starting to get trained and understand this is the new norm for a while, because if you are going to the grocery store, and a lot of you are going to the Home Depots and Lowe's of the world, and there's a lot of home projects going on right now because we're all at home, and so those stores are certainly being occupied with customers. You're seeing that there are, you know, they are allowing people, you have to wait in line, and there is, you know, spots, like you said, 6 feet apart, and there are sneeze guards if you are going to an actual register with someone there at an aisle. So maybe this is all helping, and then maybe this is helping people understand that this is the way it's going to be, and maybe that's why you've kind of seen people change their habits in the last 5-6 days, as you mentioned.
Yeah. I was against the sneeze guards, but as soon as the franchisor said these are available, it may not help anything, but it gives the perception to people that everybody's trying, and do your part because we're doing our part.
Really good points. Thanks for calling in, Bosucks. That's good perspective. There's a prime example of a small business owner and a guy that's dealing with the public, him and his staffs, okay, throughout his stores, dealing with the public. And a good observation. It's not perfect, but, you know, hopefully we'll get there. I mean, we're still fairly early, right? They're saying, from the people that I've talked to, this will be kind of in the peak, so to speak, more toward the latter part of this month, toward the end of this month is what they're kind of projecting for Tennessee. In fact, I will just say this. I'm not the expert. I'm just talking to much smarter people that are in the know. And it was like the first time that I've heard like real encouragement that, you know, the numbers are showing that things will start declining in May. And that was a couple of people that I talked to were for the first time pretty optimistic and felt like there was a little uptick in their voice with what they're seeing. So hopefully that's all good news. Doesn't mean that they're saying we're in the clear or any of that. It's just saying that there could be a decline and things going the right way, and then there could be that area and that patch where we get out of this for a little bit, and then we have to buckle up, you know, for mm-hmm. round two and get ready for the colder months, the colder weather.
That's why I think these sports, you know, because this is what we do, need to figure out a way to do this in the event they can't have fans. And I know, you know, I've had my skepticism about WWE or UFC, but they've made it work to an extent, and I think the other leagues need to figure that out just from an economic standpoint. I mean, it's not just because we miss sports, but, you know, think about some of the advertising you could get, and I know it's not the same, you know, without having people in the building, but it does stimulate the economy for a bit. And I think that's why President Trump met with all these leaders over the weekend to try and figure this out, because he knows how important sports are from an economic standpoint.
Just look at this, guys. Just think about this alone. This is just a small – so I'm just pointing out a couple – well, it's not really that small, but I'm just pointing out a couple quick things just think about this. Two Disney properties in this country, right? One in Orlando and one in Southern California. Alone, do you realize they employ over 200,000 people? Over 200,000 people yeah. are employed at those two Disney properties. They've been shut down for how long now? Disney's been shut down for three weeks?
3 weeks, yeah.
3 weeks, probably. Think about the Las Vegas Strip. How many people that employs?
Yeah.
And then here's the big one. What we're doing. Just think about all the sports venues, right? All the arenas, all the baseball parks. And think about all that is completely shut down. How many employees? I mean, right there, that alone is already in the millions, right? Just that, just pointing out the Las Vegas Strip, every sports entity, and you could, I guess, throw in the concerts too because they're at those venues. And Disney, we're talking, those are people right now, it's millions of people that it's affected. And then we could keep going on and on. But that just goes to show you how big this is. But that was pretty encouraging there with Bosox. I felt like at least he's saying, I think the light bulb was starting to go on for a lot of people, because I don't believe that was the case. 2 weeks ago, I don't believe he probably had anybody coming into his store with a mask on or keeping 6 feet apart. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, I doubt it.
Well, I can tell you what I've seen. I would agree with that wholeheartedly, too. So I'm glad to see that percentage is increasing, because it means people are listening and they're staying informed. And I think the more people that do it, the more normal it will become. And people realize that, you know, maybe this isn't 100% protection, but you're doing your part, right? You're reducing the risk. We can do as individuals to reduce the risk that either we get it ourselves or we don't spread it to anybody else. Those are huge. All of those little things affect that big number that you were just talking about, Darren. And hopefully we will continue to see progress, because, you know, that is encouraging. But we've got to stay focused on it. And everybody's got to make sure that they prioritize it.
No doubt about it. We will come back. Start the fourth and final hour with Hal Gill. Skillsy will join us next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.